Good evening. It's 5:31 p.m. I'll ask my council members to take a seat. Good to see you all. It's an important duty of this city to work with the residents to make sure they're safe and their welfare is protected. Maintaining housing in neighborhoods is critical to fulfilling that duty, and we also want to prevent blight from happening. Minimum housing standards are established with respect to the physical components essential to making structures safe, sanitary, and fit for human use and habitation. The primary ordinance used by code compliance, an important arm of our city, and our city attorney's office to address housing conditions is known as Chapter 27 of the Dallas City Code. A review of this ordinance began in 2013 and included review of best practices used throughout the United States and dozens of consultations with stakeholders across our city. All of the research and citizen input was reviewed by the City Council Housing Committee on 5 occasions. At the last briefing on April 18th, the committee recommended that we have this public hearing. Our purpose this evening is to hear the input from stakeholders regarding this ordinance. Tonight will be followed by a briefing to the full council tomorrow on May 18th. Council Member Scott Griggs is the chair of the Housing Committee, so I'd like to offer him an opportunity to say a few words about the work on his committee before we start. And now that I've got a quorum, I will call the meeting to order at 5:33 p.m. Mr. Griggs.
Thank you, Mayor. First off, I want to thank everyone for coming down. This is a packed house, and it's wonderful to have so many people on such an important issue about making sure that all rental properties in the city of Dallas, single-family and multifamily, have decent and dignified living conditions to ensure a quality of life. I also want to thank my co-chair, Carolyn Arnold, on the Housing Committee, and all the Housing Committee members for their many months of work on this ordinance, and the Dallas City Council for attending this special evening meeting. I think everyone can see that this issue is so important that it has warranted a evening meeting with this fantastic turnout. So thank you very much for this opportunity, Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Griggs. Now, as Mr. Griggs said, the place is packed, and we have 54 people signed up. You didn't have to sign up, I guess. And so because of that, we're going to ask everybody to limit their comments to a minute and a half, and really get to the point that that you want to make. We care about what you're saying, but we want to make sure that you get to that. We did this once before, and it worked out well. This is what we're going to do. We're going to call. How many seats are right there? How many seats are there? 3, 6, 8. We're going to call 9 people. Okay. And the first person in that list of 9 will come up and start speaking. The other 8 will sit in the first row. We will finish those 9, and then Ms. Rios will call the next 9. And we'll do the same thing. The first speaker will take the podium, and then the other folks will sit in the front row ready to go when she calls the name. And please stay on topic. Please address all comments to me, meaning it's not protocol to – are you going to read your little thing? Okay, Ms. Rios is going to read that, so she'll give you the instructions. And we look forward to this evening, and we'll get through this, an important subject. So, Ms. Rios, take it away.
I'm going to read the speaker guidelines. Speakers must observe the same rules of propriety, decorum, and good conduct applicable to members of the City Council. Any speaker making personal, impertinent, profane, or slanderous remarks will be removed from this meeting.
Sir, that you can sit there. No, that's fine. Thank you. All right.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
Again, if you become boisterous, we will remove you from this meeting room for the session of the meeting. You are allowed 1.5 minutes to speak. You will notice the timer at the podium. When your time is up, please allow the next individual their turn. You should address your comments to Mayor Rawlings. If you have any handouts or want any information distributed, it's important that you go ahead and give them to our officers located at each side, as it does affect your speaking time for you to try to distribute that information at the time your name is called and you step up to the podium. We did receive requests for interpreter services, and I'm going to go ahead and ask Ms. Alejandra Picado to come in and introduce herself, and she's going to explain for those of you that are going to need interpreting services how it's going to work.
Good evening. My name is Alex Picado. I am the interpreter. Okay. Good evening. My name is Alex Picado. I am the interpreter, and I will be interpreting consecutively, meaning that we will take turns as we speak. I ask that if you do speak in brief phrases, and if I lift my hand up, please take a pause so that I can interpret appropriately.
Buenas tardes. Mi nombre es Alejandra Picado. Soy la intérprete. Esas personas que necesitan hablar en español, los voy a asistir con la interpretación. Les pido que hablen en frases breves y, por favor, si levanto la mano, es para que tomen una pequeña pausa para interpretar correctamente. Voy a hablar en primer persona, quiere decir que hablen directamente como si estuvieran hablando con el alcalde. Muchas gracias.
Thank you. I'm going to go ahead and proceed and read the first 9 names. They are Sandy Rollins, Mary Bryant, Jeffrey Seals, Carol Zhu, Erica Estes, Latasha Weatherspoon, Ashley Stanley, Christine Barrel, and Valkendra Bias. And your first speaker is Sandy Rollins.
Good evening.
One second here. Just want to make sure we got everybody down here. Got in you were called two. There we go. So everybody's here? Great. Thank you, Ms. Rollins, for coming here.
Thank you. I'm the executive director of the Texas Tenants Union. We have many members in the audience here today, including some who will be speaking. The Texas Tenants Union is a nonprofit organization that was formed in the 1970s. Thousands of people contact us every year when they're trying to get their landlord to make repairs, trying to get security deposit back, or facing eviction. I appreciate the opportunity to speak on this and the work that the staff and council has done on these revisions. First and foremost, though, I want to stress that it's essential that tenants living in substandard conditions be prioritized in the remedy. It's frightening to hear the city talk about removing blight due to its history of totally disregarding the tenants who live in the housing. Code enforcement should be used as a tool to improve the quality of life of tenants, not as a displacement, demolition, and gentrification tool. Protection from retaliation, including non-renewal of the lease, must be included in the code and extended beyond a 6-month period. We recommend that rent increases be prohibited for at least a year after the property is repaired, and that the city seek receivership when necessary so that properties can be repaired instead of closed. It would be even more meaningful to allow tenants to pay rent into an escrow account with the municipal court when serious code violations exist for extended periods of time. The rent and escrow could then be used by landlords, tenants, or a third party to make improvements. Regarding the property standards, I'm probably going to run out of time, and so I'm going to have somebody else finish. We want to focus on bed bugs, mold, mildew, indoor air quality, screens, and air conditioning, but I'm done, so I will ask somebody else from our organization to go into those issues.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Mary Bryant. Mary Next. Bryant is not present. Jeffrey Seals.
Hi, Mr. Mayor. My name is Jeffrey Seals, and I'm a member of the Texas Tenants Union. I'm a tenant myself. I support the recommendations of the Texas Tenants Union. Now, I've had the city code compliance office come out on several occasions to repair or to look at some of the structural damages that I was some of the structural issues that I have, and I've had problems such as leaks in the ceilings. More than one occasion they came out of that, and I've been there for 2 years. And insulation that needed to be replaced inside the ceiling, which I've seen them witness, where they took the tile down and put the soaked insulation back up into the ceiling. And I had to have the floors repaired, and which was a danger for me to walk around my house. And there are many other issues, such as bed bugs and all this kind of stuff is going on in my apartment also. So, yes, I would like something to be done about that. Thank you for letting me speak.
Thank you.
Carol Zhu.
Hi, my name is Carol Zhou. I'm with the Texas Tenants Union, and I also manage Translation Vickery Meadow, which is an arts and cultural center in District 13 called Vickery Meadow. That was historically a Section 8 neighborhood and has become a refugee resettlement area. We experience a lot of substandard apartments and code violations, and these are often people's first introduction, like people who are refugees. This is their first introduction to America, which are apartments that are falling apart, full of bed bugs, and landlords that are incredibly unresponsive to repairs. People are being forcibly displaced through rent increases, and they're also self-selecting to displace because of the conditions that they live in. So we support the recommendations by the Texas Tenants Union. Specifically, we support number 7, to ensure that bed bugs are included in the infestations. 11, no rent increases until a property is up to code for at least a year. So right now, a lot of our community members are facing rent increases that they can no longer afford, when their apartments and their repairs that they've been seeking have not been addressed. And lastly, we support number 2, protection from retaliation. A lot of people in our community don't speak up because they're afraid of retaliation and because, quite frankly, they're not civically literate or literate in the English language in order to make those calls to 311. So the onus is really on the city to be that regulating force instead of expecting our community to be the ones who are calling 311. Thank you.
Thank you.
Erica Estes.
Good evening, Mayor. I'm Erica Estes, and I am a member of the Texas Tenant Union. And the recommendations that the Texas Union has here today, I want to address 3. The retaliation for non-renewal lease. I've experienced for myself when tenants don't know their rights, and they complain about different things that are going on with the apartment, such as mold, which is number 4. I have myself personally complained about mold. When screens are not on the windows and mosquitoes can come in, that's a danger to our health. The other one is, I said, retaliation. They'll try to evict you, and that I would like for the council to look at that issue. And just overall safety and health for tenants to have equal rights, and that the landlord take responsibility of things that are not fixed properly.
Thank you.
Latasha Witherspoon.
Hello, I stand representing the Kessler Heights community. There are 5 particular apartments that I speak about. I just moved in about 2 months ago. Issues that I've been having, which are seeing the trash and the people sitting out all of their property and all of their belongings due to bed bug problems. There are rodents and rats, and I feel like that's shared living things when I sign my lease that I don't feel like I signed up for. Like they said, when you do mention these things that you are, you know, retaliated against, you're put out, or then there's trumped up charges as far as back pay or things of that nature. We're living with trash. Every morning I walk to the store to get a cup of coffee. There's trash everywhere. They're not picking up the trash. They even tried to charge $25 for the tenants to have to pick up the trash, along with the people's ceilings are falling in within the homes. The people are suing because a tree fell down and hit someone, and that person is being taunted and retaliated against. We have standing sewage water within these apartments. When you step out of your car, it smells like a porta potty within the entire apartment complex. When it rains, there's water sitting where you can't step out of your front door. My problem is the infestation. Like I said, I've only been there a month. I moved in with nothing. I couldn't have brought these things with me. So for me to have to pay in order to get these things done, it shouldn't be. The screens are another problem. You can't open your windows because of the flies and anything else that's coming. So my time is up, but thank you for allowing me to speak.
Thank you for coming.
Ashley Stanley.
Hi. Good evening, Mayor Rawlings. This is actually my first time to attend a council meeting, and I definitely appreciate the opportunity to share. I'm with the Texas Tenants Union. In fact, I'm a real estate broker, a property manager, and a downtown resident tenant. I didn't even know they existed until I had a problem. So I went to the Texas Tenants Union meeting, and I'm basically just speaking on behalf of some of the recommendations that they've given us. And if you will just listen to these eight that I'm going to state that they recommend and kind of put yourself in these tenants' shoes. They're suggesting that adding a non-renewal of a lease is an act of retaliation, and keeping the hot water standard at 120 degrees, provide notice and relocation assistance to existing tenants when the city closes a property, allow tenants to pay rent into an escrow account with a municipal court or housing department for serious code violations. No rent increases until the property is up to code for at least 1 year. And require the utility companies to give notice of pending utility shutoff, not simply just making a reasonable effort. And lastly, automatically giving the tenants a copy of the inspector's report.
Thank you.
Christine Barrow.
Before the time starts, when I called to sign up, I was told we were going to be able to speak for 3 minutes, so I'm a little disappointed it got cut down to a minute and a half. I was prepared for three. My name is Christine Burrell. I live at 824 North Clinton Avenue, 75208. After selling my home in March of 2014, I became a renter. I found a fourplex one block away. The owners were remodeling one of the units and told me of their plans. I gave them a deposit. Turned out many promises were broken. I moved into a unit that had rats in the walls and ceilings, a bathtub in such bad shape that I will not sit down to actually take a bath. The programmable thermostat did not work, no screens in the windows, a roof leak, a gas stove that does not have an exhaust, and no hot water in the shared laundry room. When I asked for a plan of action to fix the problems, I was told, if you don't like living here, you can move. Did I feel intimidated? Yes. Luckily, they sold the fourplex this past December, and it's currently under a new owner. With that said, there's still no documentation posted on the site of the new ownership. My rental problems are minimal compared to what other renters are experiencing, yet indicates there is a problem throughout the city in all shapes and sizes. Revise rental regulation and inspections. When the previous landlord required their every 3 years certificate of occupancy inspection, I thought, great, I will show the inspectors the issues I have with my unit. Well, it turned out they only had to inspect one of the four units, and my unit wasn't chosen. The building received a score of 97, and I don't get the scoring, because waking up the rats in the ceiling at 3 a.m. does not even come close to a 97 score. This was a missed opportunity. Code inspectors were on site. I was home waiting. Oh, sorry, I had other things to say. The city's checks and balances are broken. It's time for a paradigm shift in our rental housing. Thank you.
Thank you.
Balcandra Vias.
Good evening, Honorary Mayor, Pro Temp Mayor, Deputy Mayor, Council Member, and all of the audience which is present here. Thank you for allowing us this opportunity to address to you directly. So I'm a resident of Dallas City and Dallas County since 1985, and I moved to Dallas City in 1994. I'm a small apartment rental owner. I also own some single-family homes in South Dallas. My interest in real estate started when the stock market crashed, and I started realizing that whether 401k or IRA will be with us by the time we reach retirement age. Nevertheless, it also offered opportunity to many of individuals like me. I bought a number of homes in the South Dallas, renovated, new families moved in, we created some jobs. Now all these things, after I saw some proposed changes that were discussed in the March 2016 meeting and presented to you, I realized the cost impact of those changes will be significant. So all I can request the council member that please continue the growth that we are bringing in and look at each and every suggestions that is presented and see what the impact of the cost will be on all of us. Thank you.
Thank you.
I will call the next 9 speakers: Marie Hall, Patricia Vega, Erica Ventura, Barry Lockman, Jesus Belmontes, Jonathan Morrison, David Woodyard, Donna Shelton, and Melesio Lopez. Para esas personas que necesitan ayuda, si se pueden sentar aquí, si llame su nombre, se pueden mover acá enfrente. Cuando es su tiempo a hablar, la señorita Picado la va a ayudar. Again, let's, your first speaker is Marie Hall.
Yeah, let's read the list again because only 3 people came down. So if you didn't.
So Marie Hall, Patricia Vega, Erica Ventura, Barry Lockman, Jesus Belmontes, Jonathan Morrison, David Woodyard, Donna Shelton, and Melesio Lopez.
Okay, thanks everybody.
Si hablé su nombre, es importante que se siente aquí enfrente. Va a tener 1 minuto y medio a hablar.
All right. Thank you. Ms. Hall.
Thank you.
My name is Marie Hall. I have been a real-time broadcast captioner for television for about 16 years. I work from home, and I've kind of lived in apartments all my life, but this year was the first time I encountered a problem with mold after the storms. My apartment was leaking, and I was on vacation. When I came back, my apartment was flooded. I had mold. I had a sink stopped up with something that looked and smelled like dirt from the outside. When I went to the office to complain, they informed me that it was a new management that had bought the property, and I would have to wait basically 6 days. I got back on a Wednesday. They told me that the earliest they could get to me was Monday, and I was very ignorant when it came to what my rights were because I had never encountered anything like this before. But it took a couple of days for me to get directed to the Texas Tenants Union, but they are the only recourse that I had, and it completely changed my life after I followed the instructions. And so I definitely support all of the changes that they're recommending. They're in place for a reason, and I was getting sick. My little dog, I have an 8.5-pound dog, and he was getting sick, and it was due to mold, and I just was really suffering for almost a month before I was able to resolve the matter. But I can't imagine people who really don't know what to do. So I support them.
Thank you, Ms. Hall.
Thank you.
Patricia Vega.
Buenas tardes, mi nombre es Patricia Vega, líder de Dallas Area Interfaith.
Good afternoon, my name is Patricia Vega, and I am with Dallas Area Interfaith.
Se pueden para todos los líderes de DAI, could all the leaders from Dallas Area Interfaith please stand up? Yo vivo en la área Batman Lane, tengo 4 niños. Yo estoy aquí porque hay muchos problemas en los apartamentos.
I live here in the area of Bachman Lake. I have 4 children, and I'm still here because I have many problems in the apartment.
Mi familia se ha mudado 6 veces en 6 años, y escucharán por qué.
My family has moved 6 times in 6 years, and now you'll learn why.
Cuando nosotros estábamos buscando un apartamento, mi esposo visitó el Sol del Lago.
When we were looking for an apartment, my husband visited Sol del Lago.
Y todo estaba bien, pero después de algunas semanas vimos que había chinches en la pared y en el piso y lo reportamos, pero nunca fueron a fumigar.
And everything was fine for a few days, but then for a few weeks. But then we noticed that there were bed bugs on the walls and the floors, and we reported it, but it was never taken care of.
Entonces mi esposo fue a Home Depot a comprar algo para matarlas.
And so then my husband went to Home Depot to buy something to kill them.
Y después tuvimos problemas con ratones.
Then we had problems with rats or mice.
A pesar que fuimos varias veces a la oficina, nunca pudieron ayudarnos.
And even though we went several times to the office, they could never give us help.
Y nos preguntaron por qué nos íbamos, y yo les dije porque el día que porque nos íbamos porque había ratones y no era seguro para mi familia y era y chinches y no podían ellos rehacer ningún no podían ellos ayudarnos a hacer las reparaciones.
And when they asked us why we were leaving, then we said that there were the bed bugs and the rats. It's very dangerous for my family, and that they weren't able to do any of the repairs.
Y ellos dijeron que cualquier día estaban las puertas abiertas para nosotros regresar.
And they told us that at any time, if we wanted to return, the doors would be open.
Nosotros pudimos ver cuando nos mudamos a otro apartamento, no estaba listo, entonces no tuvimos el tiempo para revisarlo antes de movernos.
So we went to get another apartment and they weren't able to have it ready for when we were going to move in, and so we went to go see.
Y entonces ellos, cuando nos mudamos, no habían hecho ninguna reparaciones porque la ciudad estaba haciendo inspecciones y no tenían suficiente tiempo para hacer las reparaciones del apartamento nuevo.
And so when we went to move in, none of the repairs had been made because the city inspectors were doing their inspections, and so they had no one to go and do the repairs.
Entonces nos dimos cuenta que el piso estaba no estaba a nivel, había ratas, el baño no tenía hoyos, entonces era el problema y el moho.
So when we went to move in, we saw that there was mice or rats, that there was unlevel flooring, and that there in the bathroom there were holes and there was mold.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Next speaker, Erica Ventura. Ms. Ventura, we'll need a translator.
Buenas tardes. Soy Erika Ventura, miembro de la Iglesia Católica San Juan Diego y del programa Lumen Education en el área de Backman Lake y un líder con Dallas Area Interfaith.
Good afternoon. I am Erica Ventura. I'm a member of the Catholic Church San Juan Diego and with the program Lumen Education in the area of Backman Lake and a leader in the Dallas Area Interfaith.
Después del año y medio que tenemos trabajando en este grave problema, que son las pésimas condiciones en las que viven la mayoría de las personas en el área.
After a year and a half, we've been working on this grave problem that are the horrible condition in which the majority of people live in this area.
En octubre del 2015 se hizo una inspección en 13 complejos de departamentos.
In October of 2015, there were inspections done on 13 of the apartment buildings.
A la cual asistieron más de 60 personas, entre ellas dos doctores.
In which there were about 60 people there, and there were two doctors in the group.
Se tomaron fotos y notas de los departamentos en mal estado.
They took photos and notes of the apartments that were in bad shape.
Por ejemplo, paredes húmedas con moho y agujeros.
For example, walls with mold and holes.
Aguas del desagüe saliendo de las banquetas, entre otros.
And wastewater coming out of the toilets and other things.
Después de esto, en noviembre se realizó una junta en la Iglesia Católica San Juan Diego, donde asistieron más de 200 personas y tuvimos la participación de la mayor pro tem, Mónica Alonso, algunos representantes del Departamento de Código de Vivienda y oficiales de la policía.
After this, in November, we had another meeting in the church, Catholic Church San Juan Diego, where there were more than 200 people attending. We also had the participation of the Mayor Pro Tem, Monica Alonso.
Así como el apoyo del sacerdote Jesús Belmontes.
Some representatives from the Department of the Codes and...
sorry, code of housing and officials from the police that gave their support for the priest, Jesús Belmontes.
Al mismo tiempo, nos enteramos que los abogados de la ciudad habían comenzado a trabajar en el capítulo 27 del Código de Vivienda para hacer algunos cambios.
At the same time, we realized that some of the the city had commenced work on Chapter 27 of the Code of Housing for making changes.
Entonces empezamos a realizar juntas con algunos de los concejales para explicarles lo que está pasando en el área y sugerir cambios a dicho código.
So then we started to have meetings with some of the city council members to explain what was going on in the area and to suggest changes to said code.
Los cuales son importantes para nuestra comunidad y de los que se hablará a continuación.
The items which are important for our community, and we will speak of these in continuation.
Pero en lo personal hay una historia que me impactó e inspiró para seguir por la lucha para mejorar dichas condiciones.
But personally, there is a history in particular that inspired me to seek work and to better the conditions.
Una señora de más de 60 años que junto a su hija, que es madre soltera, trabajan para poder salir adelante.
There is a lady who's older than 60 years of age, and she is with her daughter. She is a single mother and has to work in order to survive.
Y que al firmar un contrato.
Thank you.
Gracias.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
As a reminder, you do have a minute and a half. Te recuerdo, tiene un minuto y medio. Your next speaker is Barry Lockman.
My name is Dr. Barry Lockman, a member of Temple Shalom and leader for Dallas Area Interfaith. I am a pediatrician and president of the Asthma Coalition of Texas. I participated in the walk of the apartments in Bachman Lake area and was appalled by the conditions that I visited. We saw raw sewage coming through drains. We saw ceilings sagging, collapsing from leaks, molds on windowsills, carpet and ceilings. There were obvious staining in the carpets from repeated damage. Every single apartment had at least one person who reported allergy-related problems due to the conditions. Since that time, I've become aware of problems in North Dallas and South Dallas and all over the city. This is clearly not a Bachman Lake problem alone. It's clearly a citywide problem. In working with the EPA and looking at the World Health Organization and National Center for Healthy Housing, I've learned that these problems are caused by excess moisture from poor air conditioning and for leaks. This leads to biologic growths such as common mold and cockroaches. Two studies done in the Isner City Asthma Study, one done in Dallas, clearly should indicate that Dallas has a unique problem with moisture that is due to the poor housing code that we have. 80% of asthma hospitalization and 70% of ER visits are for children who are on Medicaid, CHIP, and uninsured. These visits cost $700 per ER visit and $6,500 for hospitalization. The two independent costs put the cost at $12 million of public cost. Thank you.
Thank you.
Your next speaker, Jesús Belmontes.
Soy el padre Jesús Belmontes y pertenezco a la parroquia de San Juan Diego.
I am Father Jesús Belmontes, and I belong to the parish of San Juan Diego.
Iglesia Católica, mi propósito de estar aquí es porque han escuchado ustedes las historias. Mucha parte de las personas de la Iglesia de San Juan Diego han sido afectadas por esos problemas que se han mencionado de mojo.
And that's the Catholic Church, and I am here because I have heard many of these stories about these families that have been affected by these conditions, like mold, for example.
Chinches.
Bed bugs.
olores, por ejemplo, de aguas residuales.
Smells like odors of like residual water.
Que drásticamente a veces son despedidos de sus hogares.
That drastically they are also thrown out of their homes.
Que ellos tienen que pagar a veces sus fumigaciones en los departamentos.
That they have to pay for their own fumigation within their apartments.
Y me preocupa porque detrás de ellos están los niños que son los más vulnerables.
And it worries me because with all of this, the children are the most vulnerable.
Y son niños que en su mayoría en este sector donde está la iglesia.
And they're children that the majority of them that are within this church.
Concentra la mayor cantidad de niños menores de 5 años hacia cero de toda la ciudad.
It's the highest concentration of children of 5 years and under to 0 in all of the city.
Y son niños pobres.
They are poor children.
Y estas condiciones que estamos expresando y que hemos escuchado nos hacen pensar que Dallas ha fallado con los más vulnerables.
And they've expressed their concerns and their conditions, and this leads us to believe that Dallas is the highest concentration of these types of issues, problems.
Por lo tanto, mi propuesta es que hagamos un cambio al artículo 27, donde se tengan contratos en inglés y en español.
And so for these changes, for chapter 27, I suggest that we make contracts that are both in English and in Spanish.
Sobre todo que las fumigaciones se paguen por combinados.
That part of the fumigation be paid combined, in combination.
Que las demoras no se hagan tan largas en la cuestión de reparaciones.
That the repairs don't take too long to complete.
Y sobre todo también que las multas sean mayores para los mismos que son los dueños de los departamentos.
And more importantly, that the fines be the same for the landowner or landlords.
Y mi propósito es pues invitarlos a ustedes que tienen el poder de hacer valer nuestro voto, que se fijen en este sector de la población que también ellos pagan impuestos y merecen ser escuchados. Gracias.
And so I invite you to come and see for yourself and give value to what is broken and see in this sector and try to repair these damages that are going on.
Y aquí traigo fotos de todos los desperfectos.
And I have photos here of all of the imperfections.
Gracias.
Thank you. Your next speaker, Jonathan Morrison.
Hello, my name is Jonathan Morrison. I'm the senior minister of the Cedar Crest Church of Christ, as well as a leader in Dallas Area Interfaith. Several months ago, my congregation, along with 9 other Oak Cliff congregations, walked the streets of the Cedar Crest community and heard similar stories as Bachman Lake, which means that this is clearly not just a problem for one neighborhood, but it is, in fact, a citywide problem. Today, the Dallas Morning News reported that the Apartment Association of Greater Dallas said that the proposed changes to Chapter 27 go too far and could result in a 10% increase in rent. However, because of high demand, rents have already increased. Bottom line is we want Chapter 27 revisions that will help ensure decent housing for all Dallas residents. Specifically, just as rents have gone up, we also recommend that fines for code infractions be increased as well to incentivize property owners to make necessary repairs. Secondly, it's important to ensure that an apartment unit has adequate heating and cooling, maximum temperature of 80 degrees in the summer, minimum of 68 degrees in the winter months. Thirdly, it is important for the ordinance to clearly spell out appropriate ways that mold should be remediated. Too often, mold is never properly addressed and causes health concerns. Fourth, landlords and tenants should actively work together to deal with bed bugs. And finally, rental contracts should be in both English as well as Spanish. We also have a letter that we've drafted that we'd like to share with every council member.
Please give it up. Thank you. Thanks, Chris.
David Woodyard.
Hello, Mayor and Council members. I appreciate your time today. My name is Dave Woodyard, and I'm the President and CEO of Catholic Charities of Dallas. We serve thousands in poverty every year, all of whom share the same need for simple dignities and expectations that we all want and deserve: safe, clean, healthy, and secure housing. As I'm new in my role, I've not previously been exposed to many of the issues being discussed here tonight, and frankly, I'm shocked at what I've seen and learned regarding the substandard conditions that the poorest of the poor face. Thus, I'm here to urge you all to support the revisions to Chapter 27 Housing Code that was passed on April 18th. These impoverished victims are paying above-market rents for dangerous, toxic environments and are being told that through contractual obligation they're required to pay and fix any things that any normal and respectable lease would be the responsibility of the owner, not the renter. This appears to be done with the intent and calculation by landlords to tenants that they know can't stand up for themselves and can't fight back and don't have the resources to do anything. Further, the extraordinary rent and so you might ask, why does this all matter to Catholic Charities? The answer is very simply this. It lies in the fact that these unfair rents for unsafe environments with additional charges levied upon these victims weakens us all. Our ability to collectively reduce poverty and lift lives to new heights in our community cannot happen if we are not allowed to, cannot happen, if remain in place, and thus leave these critical areas of human dignity unaddressed. I hope that you help our community be better. It really is critical to these people. Thank you.
Thank you.
Donna Shelton.
Hello, my name is Donna Shelton, and I'm a tenant in the Dallas area in District 11. I want to request that the water temperature minimum remain at 120 degrees. I believe 100 degrees is too cool. For the last 6 weeks, our temperature has been between 96 and 98. It's difficult to wash dishes. You cannot sanitize dishes. You can't adequately get the grease out of a pan or pots and plates. And I believe that will promote bacteria and become a health hazard. I believe bed bugs should be the responsibility of the owners to provide the pest treatment. The residents often cannot afford the rates on a timely manner, and many of the specialty companies' pest treatments will only deal with the owners. They will not deal with a tenant. And we need to really get that under control. If Dallas continues to become a bed bug hotspot, it's going to be hard to get conventions to come. It's going to be hard. Tourists are going to avoid our hotels. It's more than just the tenants. It's the economics of the whole city. The method of setting rents at this point, many properties use a computer system where if they rent two or three units in a week, then the rates jack up tremendously. And when the standard now is to have a 60-day advance that you're terminating your rent, your contract. And so you're now at a position where you cannot afford to sign a contract 60 days in advance because the rents are like 1,000 higher than normal.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Melesio Lopez.
Hello, my name is Melissa Lopez. I live in Aspen Creek. I have lived there for over a year. Never had an issue as far as bed bugs or anything like that. There have been some prior issues. There was a couple of times that there was no water at all. I went to the office. They said that they couldn't do nothing about it, fix it, that I had to wait until Monday for them to fix it. There was a couple of times there was no hot water. You know, all they said was they couldn't do nothing about it, that I just have to wait. And now the bigger issue is I recently found bed bugs in my apartment last week. I went and talked to them about it. They told me that I was going to have to be responsible for all fees for the treatment. And I told them why. Why should I be responsible for something that I did not cause or something that it wasn't my fault? And all she had to say was that because the manager said so. So, and I told them that I was going to leave regardless, and they said, well, you haven't given your 60-day notice, written notice, and if I did, that they were going to write a bad review on my rental history, which makes it a lot harder to get another place. And, you know, I have small children. I have a daughter 6 months old. I have a year-old son. So now I'm, like, kind of stuck, you know. I really don't know what to do because, you know, there's, like, really no option. I have to pay regardless if I want to get out of there. Well, I got to pay. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'll call the next 9 speakers. Richard Sheridan, Ken Smith, Douglas Brown, Roderick Johnson, Jennifer Owens, Carrie Terrell, Charles Smith, Kara Telefuse, and Steve Thurber. Again, if your name was called, please come up and sit in the front row. You are allowed 1.5 minutes to speak. You should address your comments to Mayor Rawlings.
Ms. Sheridan, you're first.
Mr. Sheridan is first.
Good evening. Richard Sheridan, 1562 Harris Court, District 7. I now live in the hood. I thought that this public hearing was to be about how to best revitalize the poor and blighted communities of Dallas. Instead, it appears that Dallas is getting ready to turn on the heat on the blighted communities to unleash code enforcement with more stringent codes, forcing Dallas poor, who can't afford to make improvements based on these stringent codes, out of their homes that they have lived in for years, perhaps for generations. So I changed my speech from appealing to the rich to invest in the poor, so the rich property taxes go down and the poor will go up, we have more equality, to the theme. There are many predatory landlords in Dallas. They take advantage of the poor. They take advantage of the poor's ignorance of their rights. They put fear in the poor. They will throw you out on the street if you complain. They find ways to evict their tenants based on minor infractions. These landlords maximize suffering. They maximize suffering by maximizing human suffering, maximize their profit by maximizing human suffering. I recommend that our city council come down with some very hard punishments on these predatory landlords. Perhaps instituting a street, 3 strikes and you're out. 3 strikes and you're out, and we take away your property and put it out to bid. Enough is enough. The poor in this city are being preyed on so much. It's an abomination in the face of God, as stated in the good book. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Ken Smith. Ken Smith.
Good evening. My name is Ken Smith. Tonight I'm speaking as a citizen and a landlord who's owned multiple single-family residential units for 16 years. I commend the staff and the council for doing an excellent job of seeking diverse opinions on this very important issue. However, my comments will not address the merits of the proposed changes to Chapter 27. Other speakers would do a better job of that than I. Instead, they will focus on the city's organizational structure and the need for long-range planning in the area of housing. We should first devote our attention to developing a clear vision for housing and developing rolling 5 and 10-year strategic plans with metrics that improve these standards. The city manager should oversee their implementation, protecting them from the assault by the tyranny of the urgent. The city's culture also sends a message that housing standards are the responsibility of a single department. But in reality, it is a shared responsibility among multiple departments. The city's approach to change is to always ask for more money, more staff, more equipment. But why not about more efficiency, more cooperation, and more adherence to existing laws? A decade ago, we had a landlord resident ordinance that we did not implement. Now we're asking for another. We definitely need the new housing standards, but the way to do it is to apply the existing laws, evaluate the effectiveness, and fix the procedural problems and the long-range planning. We have it backwards. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Smith.
Douglas Brown.
Hello, everyone. My name is Douglas Brown, and I live in the Pleasant Grove area. I've been a Woodland City apartments for about 21 years, and 3 years ago, my AC started leaking in the hallway, and it leaked so long that the ceiling collapsed. And when by the time the maintenance man came to repair it, he had to stick a hole in the AC duct to extract about 2 gallons of water out of it. And I went to the manager, asked her to replace the AC ducts, and she said she couldn't do it, you know. So, yeah, she told me to relocate to another property. Okay, so the city come out and filed a complaint against them, but then they closed the case and nothing happened. And at the present time, I have to duct tape my AC ducts with plastic and tape, and around the walls inside in the hallway where the vent go, I had sealed all that up because at nighttime when I breathe, so like a gas come through the ducts and go off in my lungs, tighten up my lungs, and I'm in and out of the hospital with lung infections, and I have cramps all night. I be up all night. I have to go outside to breathe, and I have to leave my windows up and put my fans in my windows with the fan blowing inside, outside the apartments. I leave all my windows. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Roderick Johnson. Roderick Johnson is not present. Jennifer Owens.
Good evening. My name is Jennifer Owen. I've been proud to represent members of the Apartment Association of Greater Dallas since 1991, and our members share this council's goal of a strategic, targeted, and effective response to substandard rental properties. Our members are proud to provide well-maintained homes at a variety of price points for the citizens of Dallas, and in considering changes to Chapter 27, we hope that the council will put its review in the context of existing state and local remedies, laws, and regulations. The Texas Property Code requires landlords to rent habitable premises to repair or remedy conditions materially affecting the health or safety of an ordinary tenant and provides contractual and statutory remedies for violations. Residents can exercise self-help remedies such as unilaterally terminating leases, making repairs and deducting the cost from the next month's rent, or suing for damages. Residents can also file a petition for repair and remedy in justice court and obtain a court order requiring landlords to make repairs and to recover money damages incurred. The justice court can also order a reduction in rent. If residents can't afford to pay the filing fee, they can request that it be waived. And in the last session, the legislature created a task force to create plain English forms to assist landlords and tenants in filing pleadings in justice court in these kinds of matters. And I also want to emphasize that the Texas Property Code prohibits retaliation by landlords for a tenant's exercise of any of the remedies I've described. Thank you.
Thank you.
Harry Terrell. Harry Terrell.
Hello, my name is Carrie Terrell. I reside at 2805 Boyne Court in Dallas. I'm a regional manager for Capstone Real Estate, and we manage nearly 9,000 units in DFW. First, I'd like to thank you for the opportunity to speak today on the revisions of Chapter 27 and how the Apartment Association of Greater Dallas and the city staff agree on many topics up for review. As a former Crime Watch Chair Committee, I was a liaison between the code compliance city officials and the police department, all for the improvement in our areas. Meetings were held to keep management teams and owners abreast with relevant information, and requiring that a designated person attend would be a disservice to other industry personnel wanting to attend. We welcome registering to receive email and text alerts for violations and for reported crimes because we want to know now to better assist you with the efforts. We also agree and to authorize the TAA lease to substitute in lieu of the City of Dallas crime addendum. However, we do ask that we are allowed additional time for multifamily properties to repair items of defects if property owners show that we have been budgeted in a capital improvement plan. This is a financial burden for some owners if completed prior to budget, and we are at the mercy of some contractors. We'd also like to retain defenses to prosecution as already provided in Chapter 27. Ultimately, we share your goals, and these remedies can be accessed in the TAA lease, so we ask that the Housing Committee consider the request. Thank you.
Charles Smith.
Good evening. I'm a property manager in Dallas. I manage 506 units. I've been in the industry for over 10 years. I work directly with the blue-collar workforce. The company that I currently work for allows me to do a lot for the community and give back to the community as well. We work closely with Choice Housing Programs, Family Gateway Program, and BASH and others. We also have a Kids U program that has a kids program on my property as well. We often relate with our resident and gain the trust of our resident. We don't see this as just a job. We care about our resident and know them on many levels. The condition of our property is something we take very seriously at the start upon initial meet and show. We want our residents to know that we take pride in our apartments and prepare them as well, moving them into themselves. This is true because many of our on-site management live on our property. So in a sense, we're not only management, but we're neighbors as well. This bridges the gap with us between us and our residents. We know unexpected things happen, and we understand and work with our residents when this happens. We also relate with them when they have complaints because this affects us as well. So making sure our neighbors are comfortable is first nature to us. We work very diligently with our repairs and work with code to get this done in a timely manner. These changes have a huge effect on our demographic and these changes could have a huge effect with the demographic that I work with personally. While many of our residents spend large portions of their income on rent, my owners will have no alternative but to raise rents and offset some of these expenses related to Chapter 27.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Kara Telefees. Kara Telefees.
Hi, Mayor. My name is Kara Telefees.
You can pull it down just a little bit. There we go. Thank you.
My name is Kara Telefees, and I live at 8423 Vista View Drive in Dallas, Texas. I'm a senior regional property manager for Fath Properties. We manage over 2,440 units here in the Dallas area and Garland area. We typically manage Class B and Class C properties built in the early 70s and 80s. We specialize in purchasing, rehabilitating, and managing quality apartment communities. We have a solid reputation of turning problem properties around and cleaning up crime throughout our proactive activities. Our company provides courtesy patrol on all of our communities, spending nearly $150,000 annually. We evaluate our communities in more challenging areas, such as the Vickery Meadow area, and increase our efforts with additional security when there has been an increase of activity. The daily activity reports provided by our Heartland Security keeps us updated with the activity that occurs on all of our communities. This is supplemented with the reports received by attending the Crime Watch meetings, additionally with other crime information that is available on the City of Dallas website. Let's skip on. We pride ourselves on paying attention to the details and strive to provide a level of service and product that is beyond expectation. One of the recommendations is to remove the requirement that multifamily designates a specific person to attend Crime Watch meetings. Our company and AIGD agrees with that recommendation. I strongly believe that knowledge is power, and as a supervisor would like to be able to allow any on-site associate to attend the Crime Watch meetings. I feel it is important for everyone to be able to network with professionals in our industry, as well as the professionals that service our city.
Bringing
back new ideal services and practices. Also,
thank you.
Thank you. Sorry.
That's all right. Thank you.
Steve Thurber.
Good evening. I'm Steve Thurber. For the past 32 years, I've operated both affordable and conventional housing in the city of Dallas, executive vice president with Pace Realty Corporation. We work with a number of nonprofits, including the A Catholic Housing Initiative. They have properties, senior housing properties, both in East Dallas, Bishop Arts, as well as other properties in the outlying areas of Dallas. As I've heard the conditions tonight, I think most of my colleagues in the Apartment Association would agree they're deplorable. The question I have for the council is it increased standards that we really need, or is it enforcement of what we already have? Many of the conditions that have been described tonight are not allowed by the Texas Property Code. I know my properties are inspected often, and I understand that some of these other properties that have substandard housing aren't inspected at all. And maybe that's because they're not even signed up to be inspected. So I want you to carefully consider, what's the best approach for the citizens of Dallas? Is it enforcement of Chapter 27, as the staff has recommended, and the Texas Property Code? Do we need to raise the standard, or do we need to enforce? Thank you for your consideration.
Thank you.
Please. I will call the next nine speakers.
Thank you.
The next nine speakers are Lori Bush, William Hopkins, Jeff Gatlin, Miranda Furman, Jan Johnson, Ronnie Mestas, Roxanne Staff, Alice Basie, and Paula Hutchison. And your first speaker will be Lori Bush.
Ms. Bush.
Good evening. My name is Lori Bush. I live at 4247 Lively Lane in Dallas, Texas. I work for, I'm Executive Vice President for W3. We develop luxury apartments throughout Texas. And as an employee of a developer, we have a responsibility to our investors, and we must choose predictable markets. The very people you want to invest in affordable and workforce housing in Dallas are not willing to put their money at risk in an atmosphere where the law is changed on a whim, a great expense to property owners and their residents without seriously considering the input from the industry. This is an unstable investment environment, and quality developers and property owners will redirect their assets elsewhere. Let's not gamble with Dallas. Dallas's ability to attract and keep quality property owners and managers. These additional burdens will drive investors and developers into other markets, away from Dallas. Thank you.
Thank you.
William Hopkins. William Hopkins, not present. Jeff Gatlin, not present. Miranda Furman.
Good evening, and thank you, Mayor Rawlings and the Council, for allowing us to speak this evening for this special meeting. I know that the task of revising and reviewing policies and regulations can be arduous, and so I thank you for doing the heavy lifting in this matter. I ask you, however, not to stop there and to know that the community is behind you. I'm a resident at 2517 Park Row. My husband and I rented there in South Dallas before we were able to buy, and that is because we have given our work in service to the community and to our industries, and therefore it took us a little while longer to be able to afford to buy. And so I ask you at this time, as now a homeowner, to continue the hard work of enforcing and fairly enforcing these changes once they've been made. It is absolutely necessary, as an education advocate, as a board of trustee member for St. Philip's, and as a mother, that our most vulnerable population in South Dallas and throughout Dallas, our renters, our workers, our families that can not afford many options in housing, have a safe and stable place to live. If they do not, we put pressure on our schools, we put pressure on our nonprofits, and we put pressure on our economy that we may not be able to sustain. Homeowners make the city stable, but renters, our workers, make the city sustainable. Please, please enforce these changes. Thank you.
Jan Johnson.
Hello. My name is Jan Johnson. I live at 8540 Arturo Drive, and I'm not with any apartment complex or anything. I want to talk about the area that I live in. And the person that came in and tore down all the houses and left it, because I have 41 inches of grass growing across the street and weeds, and I have 37 on the other side of my house, and there's 10 lots down there. And you want to know who owns these lots? The city of Dallas. The city of Dallas owns these lots. Sorry to embarrass you all like this, but you do. And so what I would like to do, when they first came down and tore these out, I had Michael Alford from the district manager of the Department of Streets over in East Dallas come and mow these, and he was mowing these in the summertime, right after the spring rains, and then one time during the summer, and then on right before fall, and that worked just perfect because over the winter the grass didn't really grow that much, so we didn't have to worry about that. Well, that was stopped. Because the city was not going to mow them. And that was told to us after they came out and started buying out. Well, we didn't want to move. We have a really nice place. It's an acre. And we mow. My husband got him a brand new tractor this year.
Thank you.
I would like to know is to have the city figure out some
Thank
way
you.
Of coming out and mowing these lots. And we would appreciate
Thank
it.
You.
Thank you. There is pictures that I left over here to
okay,
be.
Great. Okay. We'll pass them around.
Ronnie Good evening, Mayor Rollins. Ronnie Mestis, 3215 Rutt Street, beautiful right. downtown West Dallas, lifelong member. When you first came up with the idea of this revision or update on the 27, I think we spoke with our council person, and I think it's a good idea. But what we mentioned there at those meetings was if you're going to do something like that, it's probably going to be a better idea to really get some meat on the bone if you have a separate department dedicated to rentals, you know, because in our area we have one person that owns 200 to 300 properties and another person on the other side of town owns another 300 or 400 properties. So it's kind of a two separate situations. And I believe that I heard one of the gentlemen, you know, you don't have the same issues with like Uptown and their properties. So you should have a force dedicated to just renters and those issues. And then maybe some of the more upscale units could help with the other, you know, property owners bringing up the standards of these properties. And another, I think, would be good, too, is that maybe some of these properties, even in West Dallas, if we could contract with them to rent to own. You know, if you're going to put money into your own place and get charged, you know, extra money or have the fear of being evicted, why not make a contract if you're going to put money into it, you know, you rent to own. And that's my property after I put so much money into fixing up your property. So that was my suggestion, is that you dedicate a department strictly for that. And also for the dogs.
Thank you.
Roxanne Staff.
I'm Roxanne Staff. I live in Nine, but my business of over 30 years is near Bachman Lake. And what the previous speakers have said, I could have said 30 years ago to speak to your enforcement issue. It's been going on for 30 years. One that hasn't been mentioned is, and this is an example, 65% of the crime on last month's crime watch happened at apartments and apartment parking lots. None of these have cameras. None of these have lights. I'm not trying to blame the victim, but they're mainly silent. So I would just ask that there is some kind of crime component that is where the very problematic owners must put lights and cameras out. And last, you all know who the bad operators are, and you know the real estate brokers who brought them to Dallas. Dallas Morning News blog was wonderful about announcing a new owner. Well, he brought one of the slimy California owners. There has got to be a component where you put some pressure on some of these brokers that bring the trash to town.
Alice Basie.
Good evening. I'm Alice Basie. I'm with the Texas Tenants Union Board President. I'm going to finish the other half that Sandy Rollins started. Regarding the property standards, I will provide you with a complete list of our recommendations, but in the interest of time, I want to focus on bed bugs, mold, mildew, and indoor air quality, screens, and air conditioning. The draft recommends that the tenants should share some responsibility for treating bed bugs. We are opposed to requiring tenants to pay extra for bed bug treatment, except when tenants are refusing to cooperate with treatment. We talk to tenants all the time who have never had bed bugs in the past, but get them. Some when they move into a unit and some when an infestation from a different apartment or different building spreads. They can be brought in by a maintenance man or picked up in the laundry room. It is short-sighted for the apartment industry to send tenants bills for extermination. If tenants know they will be hit with a bill when they report the problem, many will not report. They'll do everything they can to try to deal with the problem on their own while the bed bugs continue to multiply. I'm attaching a memo from the Texas A&M entomologist, Dr. Michael Merton, about this issue, as well as the City of Chicago's bed bug ordinance. Mold, mildew, and indoor air quality are not violations in the current code or draft. However, we see tenants all the time who have headaches, asthma attacks, and other breathing problems due to these issues. Please include this in the minimum property standard codes. The current air conditioning standard is 85 degrees or 20 degrees or less than outside temperature, which is ever warmer. We think it should be lower.
Thank you.
Paula Hutchison.
Now is my turn. Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
I'm from West Dallas. My name is Paula Hutchison. I'm a retired veteran. Ronnie Masters is my shipmate. And my property is 507 West Main Street, Dallas, Texas. My mother built that home in 1945. She reared all seven of her children there. I walk my neighborhood, and I'm looking at our Chapter 27 standards. And for as long as I can recall, we never had code enforcement over there. So what we have now is disabled, elderly, and many non-English-speaking residents, low-income residents, who are afraid of retaliation in terms of code enforcement, and they speak that out clearly to those who know them. The windows are out, the screens are out, the roofs are falling in, there's truancy throughout the day, there's overgrown trees and brush, there's no lighting in our neighborhoods, at least not proper lighting, and we have a brand new development going on every side of us. As many of you know, we're right there at Singleton and Sylvan, and along with other areas, as Mr. Mestis pointed out, and we don't know how we're going to be able to maintain these standards, so people are in fear of retaliation and what might happen to them for lack of knowledge.
Thank you.
I will call the next nine speakers. And they are Jason Sierocchi, Sam Madalone, Gerald Britt, Angela Momeka, Michael D. Clark, Michael Sotak Jr., Jess L. Gordon, and Juan Lopez. You may proceed, sir.
Greetings, Honorable Mayor and Council. Having been to housing subcommittee meetings, I want to thank you for all of your hard work. My name is Jason Charles Sierocchi. I've been a Dallas resident for 18 years, and I'm also a Dallas attorney. I want to briefly address a few sections and issues that come up. First of all, most importantly, Section 27-31B. We are opening Pandora's box if we allow code enforcement officers to adopt their own rules as it presently reads. For the same reason that we don't allow the police to make up the law, we cannot allow code enforcement to be created by non-elected officials. It would be too difficult to have fair, uniform enforcement. Separately, it will result in waves of litigation, which the city and our citizens cannot afford. It may be in violation of the Texas and U.S. Constitution and may take away from the defined jurisdiction of municipal court as defined in the Government Code Chapter 29003. If there's going to be an anti-retaliation provision, as identified in Section 6, the language needs to require tenants with issues to tender payments to municipal court instead of refusing the payment and misunderstanding the section. Secondly, we need to have a safe harbor or presumption written in that the landlord acted in good faith if they spent $75 or more on either labor or materials that they paid to third parties and can show documentation or receipts of that. And third, we need language that the tenant cannot cause the code violation because presently that is lacking. I have a similar suggestion with regards to the definition of workmanlike, definition number 43, that there should be a safe harbor that if over $75 is spent, that it's workmanlike. And then lastly, there should be an exemption for properties under $50,000 or situations where rent is above $750. Thank you. Or below $750.
Next speaker, Sam Madalone. Sam Madalone, not present. Gerald Britt.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. I'm the Reverend Gerald Britt, Jr., Vice President of External Affairs for City Square, and I'm here to voice support for the adoption of the proposed revisions to City Code Chapter 27, minimum urban rehabilitation and standards. I want to applaud the city staff's efforts in developing recommendations that are clear and make Dallas's housing stock safer while improving the overall quality for all of our citizens. As a co-chair of the public policy for the Health and Wellness Alliance for Children, I was one of the initial advocates for the policies regarding inclusion of the proposals dealing with asthma-related triggers, which impact more than 37,000 black and Hispanic children in Dallas. The impact of passing these proposed recommendations will have a multiplier effect that will be seen over time to help children throughout our city economically, educationally, as well as regards to their overall health and well-being. While there may be an inconvenience to some landlords, and it should be, the city must give priority to the impact that these changes to this ordinance will have on the citizens of Dallas. All citizens have a right to safe, affordable, healthy housing. Only in as much as we make certain of this fact can we be said to be on our way to becoming a world-class city. On behalf of City Square, as well as the Health and Wellness Alliance, we urge you to adopt these recommendations, indeed strengthen them, and secure the beginnings of a safe and prosperous future for our children. Thank you.
Thank you.
Angela Momeka.
Good evening, Mayor. I'm Angela Momeka. I'm a general pediatrician, and I'm representing Children's Health, which is an organization here in Dallas, and crosses over into Collin County. Our organization has worked with several community partners to convene a group of stakeholders in the community into what is called the Health and Wellness Alliance for Children that focuses on ensuring that every child, not just some children, not just the children of the wealthy, not just the children in certain zip codes, but every child reaches their full potential. And what I want to speak to you about is one thing. We've all spoken today about Chapter 27 housing ordinances and code revisions and landlords. I want to speak to you about what an economy and what a city means. And it means the future of your children. It means the health of your children, which means that as we're looking at these housing codes, what we are interested in as the Children's Health Organization, as the Health and Wellness Alliance, is the well-being of children and how these housing codes actually impact the health of children. So I'll let you know what asthma means to a child. Asthma is actually the most common chronic illness for children across the country, but certainly in North Texas, it affects over 155,000 children. For Children's Health, what we see is anywhere from 2,000 to 3,000 visits a year for asthma. Asthma is a preventable disease. It is a treatable disease. We should not be seeing children coming in 2016 with asthma exacerbations due to housing issues that actually affect their health and their breathing. Issues like mold, pests, dust in the homes, excessive mildew and damp moisture within the homes, and especially indoor air quality that actually impacts both the moisture level and the air temperature for those children.
Thank you.
Michael Clark.
Thank you. My name is Mike Clark. I own Alpha Barnes Real Estate Services here in Dallas. We are a manager of affordable housing primarily, low-income housing tax credit, Section 8202 and 811 projects throughout the city, about 2,000 units in the city, about 6,000 units in the Metroplex. I'm here today in my capacity as president of the Apartment Association of Greater Dallas. Just for your information, to frame it very quickly, we've been doing this for 50 years here. We've been working with the city for 50 years on codes, on compliance. Our owners own and manage over 500,000 of the 560,000 units in your area. We shelter 1.2 million people, and we employ 70,000 people in the DFW area. You're going to hear today from some of our members about issues, as they're going to follow me. Some have been before me. But specifically, I want to point out two things. One is I ask that you consider that the current structure and ordinances already contain nearly all of the enforcement controls you need. My friend Steve Thurber said, I don't know about two or three times one of my properties has gone off the rails, code enforcement is all over me. I mean, I've had to comply, I've had to fix, I've come back into association, and I've learned how to do that. And then secondly is the fact that there are several improvements, several items in there that are just difficult and need to be renegotiated. There's going to be a real shock value when that 80-degree temperature on a 105-day results in a new electric bill for your residents. Thank you.
Thank you.
Michael Sotak.
Good evening. My name is Mike Sotak, and I'm a director of construction for Westdale Asset Management Company, which owns and or operates 10,000 plus units in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. 10 years ago, when I made the decision to dive in full-time into multifamily housing, I knew I was going to have to prove to myself, the management company I was working for, but most importantly to the residents at a 150-unit community, that I could fix anything that was broken. Little did I know that it wasn't going to just be ACs, appliances, holes in the walls, leaks, and the standard stuff, but it was also going to be fair housing, city codes, life safety issues, fires, etc. No matter how prepared I wanted and tried to be, I could never predict precisely what I would encounter. Respect and privacy for the residents is something that I've had to learn and earn with every resident along the way, from being the supervisor for that 150-unit property to 5 years later becoming a senior service supervisor for over 2,000 units. That was what every relationship I built with them was founded on, was respect and privacy. Protecting the privacy rights of our residents is one of our highest priorities, and requiring a written maintenance or a complaint log that could reveal private resident information is something we are opposed to. I ask you to oppose this amendment to the Chapter 27 minimum property standards, and I thank you very much for your time and consideration.
Thank you.
Jess Gordon.
Good evening. My name is Jess L. Gordon. I reside at 5700 Creek Front Court, Arlington, Texas. I actually am employed by Temple Mechanical, providing air conditioning services to all walks. Temple Mechanical has been in business continuously since 1966, and I personally have been in the business for over 40 years. While I like to address the air conditioning issue, to begin with, maintaining 80 degrees is admirable on the hottest days of the year. However, over 6 months of the year, we are in what we call shoulder months. So we don't have to have this much capacity to maintain that goal. If we do increase the capacity, that means we're going to increase airflow. That means we're going to increase infiltration, which is unfiltered, moist, humid air from outside. We're also going to reduce runtime during the shoulder months, which will take less humidity out, leaving moisture in the ductwork, which will lead to your mildew and your mold. It'll also increase the utility bills dramatically, and you're going to decrease the sustainability of the equipment. Thank you.
Thank you.
Juan Lopez.
Good evening, Mayor Rawlings. My name is Juan Lopez. I live at 2612 Austin Drive in Mesquite, Texas. I'm actually a property manager. I manage two properties. One is 208 and the other one 64 units. If I could have all my colleagues and everybody who's part of AAG, and please stand, everybody who's part of this. These are the people that are here that love to serve. We like to serve our communities. We love to serve our properties because that's a passion that we have. Some of us got here accidentally. Myself, I started off as a painter. And who's to say 20 years later, I'm a property manager? Only in this industry could I have found that. And what I like about anything that I'm doing right now is to serve the community that I'm in. I'm basically all types of things. I'm a problem solver. I'm a pastor. I'm a counselor. I'm a shoulder to cry on. I'm an ear to listen to. I'm all things to my residents. And each and every one of them can come to me with their issues. And all the issues that have been explained today can easily be done by going looking at the contract. And in the contract can be enforced. The power that the people have is in the contract, if only by utilizing it. And I do believe that each and every one that is represented and standing here loves to do what they're doing. And all we need to do is just give us that empowerment to the people that are basically going to be needing to look at the contract and enforce it. By putting more enforcement and ordinance, it's not going to help. It's only going to hinder the people that you're trying to help out. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
There are 10 remaining registered speakers. They are Scott Young, Ian S. Mattingly, Jacob Colson, Eric Connor, Gary Mann, Kathy Carlton, Matthew Haynes, Tony Levitino, Cheryl Vaca, and Joanne Roan. Your first speaker will be Scott Young.
Good evening. My name is Scott Young. I reside at 619 Oak Bend, Coppell, Texas. I'm the owner of Certified Termite Pest Control. We have offices here in Dallas, Austin, San Antonio, and Houston. We service around 400 properties, about 165 here in the Metroplex. And I really feel horrible for some of the stories I heard today. But when they say it's widespread citywide, my personal experience isn't that. I work closely with managers at properties throughout the Metroplex. We do about 50 to 60 bed bug jobs a month. And each of those jobs we follow up on and work again with those managers, assistant managers, maintenance personnel at the properties. And they really push us to get back in and try to remediate the bed bug situation as quickly as possible. Unfortunately, it's often the tenants that we have the issues with. We can't get into the areas. They're not cleaning up after the treatments. There's clutter to prevent us from getting the jobs completed. And bed bug work is very specific. It's very tedious. They're crack and crevice bugs. I think part of the proposal is to treat every unit before someone else comes in. That'll do two things. One, it's going to drive up cost, and we're going to have to go in and treat all those units. So ultimately, rents will go up. And secondly, it will also be treating units that don't have bed bug issues. And that's a lot of product chemicals in units for people who don't want the product in there, and health issues that we don't need to provide for those. Thank you.
Thank you.
Ian Mattingly.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. My name is Ian Mattingly. I'm a resident of Plano, and I'm the president of Lumicore Property Management based here in Dallas. My father started Lumicore in 1984 at one property in Dallas to provide high-quality workforce housing, and we now manage a portfolio of 24 apartment communities, and we house tens of thousands of residents in our 6,000 apartment homes. We receive no project-based subsidies or tax credits, yet we remain as focused today on providing high-quality housing to working force families as we did 30 years ago. I will tell you that all of these stories have been saddening and horrifying, but I'm glad to say that as the incoming secretary of the Apartment Association of Greater Dallas, it is not our members that you need to focus on. And we ask that the Housing Committee and the Council consider targeted enforcement instead of spending all the time on properties like Mr. Clark's and mine that are Gold Star communities that are well run. Focus your enforcement on those communities that have the most challenges. We look at the wonderful work the Mayor's Grow South Initiative has done to add almost $1 billion to the city's property tax rolls, but the costs that would be imposed by, new air conditioning systems, hot water pumps, and systems to achieve the arbitrary and unscientific goals outlined in the Chapter 27 revisions are going to unwind all of those gains, because extra costs mean lower revenues, and that's how properties are valued. So lower property taxes are going to be the result. Thank you.
Thank you.
Jacob Colson.
Thank you all for having me. My name is Jacob Colson. I reside at 1919 South Shiloh Road, Garland, Texas. I am an owner of SRP Environmental LLC. We're a nationwide environmental health and safety consulting firm, specifically specializing in industrial hygiene and infection control. I'd like to speak to you today specifically regarding Chapter 27 Proposed Revision 11H7, which relates specifically to mold inside these residential units. We do work all over the country, internationally as well. In all the states that we work in here, there are four in the United States of America that have extremely comprehensive mold laws, regulations, for both assessors, remediators, for property owners. Of those four, Texas is one, right? And of those four, Texas has the most comprehensive mold remediation rules and regulations with regards to the licensed assessors, the remediation, the protection of property owners, tenants, and et cetera. And I would urge you to reconsider the clause that is being proposed currently. Not only does it create conflict with the current regulations that we work with, that we strive with, it's also going to increase cost for each one of these remediation jobs. And just to give you an example, the way the proposed statute is currently written, if I went in and assessed a condo, right, or an apartment, and that apartment had fungal growth on a bathroom surface, a tile, that came back after a week, as an assessor, I would be required to go in and recommend that that entire bathroom be ripped out when that's part of preventive maintenance for a tenant and for any homeowner for any piece of property. So I urge you to reconsider. Thank you.
Thank you.
Eric Connor.
Hi, I'm Eric Connor. I head up a firm that owns, operates, and manages 3,000 units throughout North Texas. Primarily workforce housing, been doing it for 20 years, and in those 20 years I have gone through hundreds of inspections under various scoring systems. Happy to say that we've successfully navigated through those and passed all of them, and provided our ultimate goal of clean, safe, and affordable housing to those workforce housing residents. There's a particular amendment that I think is being proposed that regards the scoring system. Currently you have to score 70 or above on a city inspection here in Dallas, and I think the recommendation from some is that those scoring under 70 have expedited proceedings toward closure. And I think your staff is against that. While I can't speak directly for them, I suspect there's two reasons why they are against that. First is increased cost to multiple parties, increased cost to the city in terms of legal entanglements, increased cost to the staff itself in terms of additional and onerous inspections, and probably most important, increased cost to ultimately the people we're trying to help, which is the residents, in terms of moving costs, in terms of additional deposits that have to be put up, and obviously maybe moving into a higher rent opportunity. The second concern I think that we have is we're taking away the discretion of those that we have hired to do the job, the inspectors themselves. They understand exactly how long it takes to complete certain construction projects. They understand the relationship with those owners. So I think we should be thoughtful and listen to the staff and oppose any changes to that current scoring system. Thank you.
Thank you.
Gary Mann.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor. My name is Gary Mann at 2100 McKinney Avenue. I'm a senior vice president with Trammell Crow Company and have spent the last 25 years developing and managing over 5,000 quality multifamily housing units in the city of Dallas. As you know, Trammell Crow Company has partnered with the City of Dallas in developing a strategy for mixed-income housing, and I support the work of the groups to date in determining that the City of Dallas must be grounded in a set of core principles for mixed-income housing. We're here tonight to talk about this ordinance and some of the revisions that have been made to this ordinance. What I would propose to members of the City Council is to go back and look at the ordinance that was drafted in January of 2016. The Apartment Association and all of our members are in support of that ordinance from January of 2016. The city staff collectively agree and have stated multiple times that they oppose many of the elements that are currently in the revised ordinance. The city's attorney's office and the Apartment Association of Greater Dallas agree with the city staff on their recommended changes to the ordinance. However, the changes did not make it into this current version of the ordinance. And so my recommendation and proposal is to have you go back and look at the version from January of 2016 and support that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Kathy Carlton.
Good evening, Honorable Mayor and Council members. I'm Kathy Carlton. I'm with the Apartment Association of Greater Dallas. After over a year of meetings with stakeholders, which included AAGD and the community, the staff put forth a very comprehensive draft of the ordinance in January of this year. However, at that meeting, they were once again instructed to hold even more community meetings to get input, which they did. At the March 21st meeting, the members of the Housing Committee quickly voted on over 50 recommendations that came out of these meetings. And staff was instructed to include these in the next revision of the ordinance to be presented at the April 11th meeting. As instructed, staff revised the ordinance to include all of the recommendations, but also included a 9-page memorandum stating why they opposed about 80% of them. Unfortunately, the committee did not discuss or even acknowledge the recommendations, but asked instead for yet another public hearing, which is this one, and to advance the ordinance to the full council. We have serious concerns about this process. We completely share the frustration the city has with the substandard living conditions in some rental property. These owners do not represent the majority of responsible property owners. There has been a perfectly rational ordinance in place for many years that guides the maintenance of apartment properties. We are inspected frequently and are quick to be issued citations if the property fails to meet certain requirements. We contend that applying the same standards to single-family rentals would accomplish about 90% of your goals. You've heard about the air conditioning industry from system capacity, but we've surveyed some of the hottest cities in the country, El Paso, Phoenix, Houston, and Las Vegas, whose cooling requirements are either at 90 degrees or allow a 20-degree differential from the outside temperature. Why would the city of Dallas try to adopt stricter standards than any of these cities? We've watched as this process has gone from making legitimate changes to an outdated ordinance to ones that have been driven by emotion and catchphrases. We ask that you go back and look at the January ordinance. Thank you.
Matthew Hayes.
Good evening, Mayor, fellow city council members. My name is Matthew Haynes. I live at 20 Hidden Valley. I'm a city council member in the town of Shady Shores, one of your neighbors to the north. I own 18 single-family rental homes, and I'm what's considered a single, an independent rental owner, a small independent rental owner. And I'm here tonight representing well over 600 independent rental owners who manage tens of thousands of units across North Texas and Dallas. Having a manager on site is what I wanted to focus on, because when I look at that and the practicality of some of the things that made it into the draft that you're currently looking at just don't make a whole lot of sense. With 18 single family properties, I'm not exactly sure where I would put a manager on site. I don't know, maybe I could have one of my empty bedrooms subletted to a manager, but I can't think of anywhere else to go with that. What's most concerning to me is that there's issues like this throughout the current draft that just don't make sense, and they need to be revisited. As a representative of the independent rental owners of North Texas, I think one of the things that I like to do is show people what we're all about, and I can do that by best giving you our statement of core values. We as independent rental owners recognize the value of our customers and endeavor to create superior value to reward them for their loyalty and trust that they extend to us as their housing providers. The current proposed revisions of Chapter 27 is not the best interest of our business or the great city of Dallas, but most importantly, it's not in the best interest of our mutual customers. I please request that you would revisit the January revisions. Thank you.
Thank you.
Tony.
Good evening, Mayor, City Council members. My name is Tony Levitino. I'm a commercial real estate banker and have been a banker for 50 years. I'm here tonight to speak on behalf of the Catholic Housing Initiative, which I'm a board member, and the board has asked me to speak with you tonight. We own 768 units, 144 of which are in the city of Dallas, affordable housing. We believe that we have emphasized quality, good operations. We don't have any use for slumlords, and we want the city to regulate them. We're opposed to the ordinance as drafted because we feel it's onerous and duplicative. It penalizes the good and the bad. We recommend you take the staff's recommendations and focus on enforcement of the existing ordinances. Thank you.
Thank you.
Cheryl Walker.
Good evening, City Council and Mayor. My name is Cheryl Vaca, and I'm a resident of the City of Dallas. My address is P.O. Box 111-966, Carrollton, Texas 75011. I would like to bring up monitoring of private leased space. I've been in a very long, unusual job search that has affected my housing situation. The past 4 years have been the roughest, and I've moved approximately 50 times, living in hotels, leased and subleased apartments, leased rooms and private residences, and have stayed for an agreed-upon duration in local homes through an online service called Airbnb. I've been stalked in all these locations. Each location has been wired for remote viewing. I've had friends and family who stayed in many of the same locations years ago and went through the same thing. I have personally seen advice used by someone on a friend's house in Louisville. It looked like a cell phone, and he used it in Garland to view her in Louisville and make comments as he watched her. Imagine being viewed in your private living quarters as you live, shower, undress, change clothes, sleep, work, etc., and not only be viewed, but have the stalker make live comments. These comments may be negative comments with regard to your body, your perverted comments of any kind, comments going to the restroom, mindless comments, just whatever, getting dressed. I've been victim to this for over 4 years on a daily basis by two main stalkers, and overall a long list of people have been given access to viewing me in my private living quarters. This is not an Eastern Bloc country or communist USA, but it sure feels like it. I've written several complaints to management companies and government officials. It is a serious expectation that any lease signed or rented room would abide by privacy laws. What can the city do to stop this and raise the standard expectation for landlords?
Thank you.
Joanne Rohn, not present. Mr. Mayor, that concludes the registered speakers.
Thank you. It is, we have taken testimony from everyone that signed up. The meeting is scheduled to 7:30. I'm going to pass the gavel to Mayor Pro Tem Monica Alonzo, and she will get as many in there as possible for the remainder of time for those people that did not sign up but want to speak. Thank you. Ms. Alonzo.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Are there any other speakers that would like to speak? If there are none, we want to make sure we thank each and every one of you for joining us today. You do have an opportunity to provide some information to any of our council members through our website or through our emails. And so we thank you very much. Muchas gracias por haber venido y estar aquí presente. Todavía tienen una oportunidad de presentarnos información si quieren a nuestro correo electrónico. Pasen buenas noches. And it is now 7:13 p.m. and the meeting is adjourned.